Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See the Podcast, Season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahan, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
The music world moves fast. Want to stay up to date on the latest albums and get in-depth examinations with the artists? Check out Consequence of Sound, the podcast. Bite-sized album reviews for the music fan on the go who wants to stay in the know, and much more. Subscribe to the series on iTunes or your favorite podcast provider, and let the writers of Consequence of Sound steer you right. Check it out at consequenceofsound.net/COS podcast. Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an audio interview series presented by WFPK Independent Louisville at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound and the Consequence Podcast Network. Go ahead, take a moment right now, hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening from, YouTube, podcasts, anywhere. Hit the subscribe button. We put out multiple interviews every single week and would love to keep you along for the ride. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Cat Power, Sean Marshall. She's got a brand new record called Wanderer, and we're going to get into its minimal style that harkens all the way back to Moonpix from 1998. In fact, there's a lot of ties between those two records, and we're going to get into a lot of those, as well as talk about the importance and the power behind songs like Woman and Black, her collaborations with Lana Del Rey, and a lifelong practice of three chords and the truth. It's a beautiful record. It's a powerful interview. It's Kyle Meredith with Cat Power.
Hello.
I think it's been talked about a little bit. It goes back to a minimal style that we haven't heard from you in a little while. Is there any reason for that? Was it just necessity of what was laying around? Did it drive you to that type?
I think that, you know, with my last record with Sun, you know, I was told I needed to make a hit record for that record. It changed my, it did something to my process. I'm not sure what it did. I don't want to say it changed my process, but it put me on alert. And so for this one, I was pregnant when I was setting up my studio. And I think because, you know, after I had my son, I was 3 months, he was 3 months when I started recording. I think that I'd already given myself a lot of layer, a very thick layer of protection for myself, for my body, you know, my health, my child, my home. And I was living in the studio, the house that I rented where I built the first studio. So I think that it only made sense that I was protecting my artwork, you know, my songs. And I only wanted to listen to whatever it was that I felt I wanted to give the songs.
You mentioned your son. I mean, there he is on the cover with, you know, a little piece of him anyway with the guitar. I mean, symbolism, these are the two anchors in your life. Am I correct in
correct.
That? Yeah.
Yes. Yes, you are correct.
And you called it Wanderer. I mean, that's to find stability as a wanderer, as a traveling, you know, musician.
Wander, actually, for me, it's not about wandering around the world. It's like a state of mind where we have our life, we have our path, and we have choices. I think it's more like a state of mind of, you know, before you set forth, you contemplate, you know. So it's really, you know, we are, I don't want to say as humans caught between, you know, different dimensions. We know that those have come before us, you know, we are gone, and we don't really know our future either. So we're kind of just, I don't want to say stuck on Earth, but I feel like, if we can utilize our potential of self-empowerment and liberating ourselves and a deeper sense of ourselves, that it may embellish fortitude on our path as we go forward.
I'll actually bring up a quote then to see if that kind of fits into what you're saying with the first single, Woman. There is that really powerful line, maybe my favorite from the record, where you say, "The doctor said I was not my past, that I was finally free." Does that fit in a little bit with what you're talking about there?
Yes. I mean, I think there's several different things on the record that show that. Yeah, there's a sense of closure, you know.
I mean, I think your journey was probably much, much harder than mine, at least different anyway. But I know most of us would like to hear those words, that we are not our past, you know, that we're finally free. I know I certainly would. I mean, that's...
I mean, you know, that's also having done the work with in therapy and, you know, holistic medicine, the whole, because I also have an autoimmune disorder. So having a doctor tell you that you're, after years and years and years of being like under scrutiny of being just a sensitive, shy person who happened to sing songs on stage, and there's sort of like a scrutiny against that because I wasn't posturing or fabricating like a sexuality about myself. I think that it was difficult for me to perform live, I think, you know, when I was younger. And there was a lot of judgment about that. A lot of critics talked a lot about that. But there were a lot of things personally in my life that I internalized since I was a kid. And not until my mid-30s did I begin work with trying to shed light and sort of give balance to those emotions and recognize my place, my part in those things. And I think once my doctor said that to me, that I wasn't even, after having done, you know, about 8 years of work saying that I wasn't even a depressive personality type after being misdiagnosed over and over through the system, it was so liberating. It's very hard to describe how settled and rest assured and calm and, you know, in my solitude, how I just felt okay, you know. And I think that also comes with age as well, and also being a parent. You stop caring about other people's bullshit and danger. You just stop, you know, and you move away from it completely.
With Black, you know, and again, this is another powerful moment amongst many on this record. It seems like there's a moment of light from a very dark moment that happens within that song. How long did it take you to be able to write about that or subjects like that? Is that something you have to put on the shelf for a while?
No. All of these songs, all of my songs I've ever written, they come as quickly as you hear them, as you're listening. That's as quickly as they come out from my brain. They just come out. They just come out like, you know, opening a door and wind coming in. And that's the way it's always been. I've tried to sit down and write a song without music, and it's impossible. But I usually just play a guitar or a piano and lock into some chord progression, whatever, you know. And it's not that my will is to write a song. My will is to just get a sort of tune-up or an alignment. Something's missing. There's like a hunger I can't describe. And I'm not even aware that I'm going to be writing a song. But usually I just start playing the instrument. And through that meditative quality that happens with the repetition, because I'm not a harnessed, a well-versed musician, you know. So all my songs tend to be three chords, if four, you know, maximum. So it's easy to get into a meditative state, and the words come out of my mouth through melody coming from my brain. So it comes very quickly. And the song Black is a story about, internalized about all the friends I'd lost from heroin addiction and those who are still addicts, those who have survived, you know, and I've been clear from that path for many, many years, and those who, of course, have lost their lives, you know. But the song is actually from the perspective of a ghost who's telling the story, and the ghost is telling their perspective, you know, things. When people are using, they share things with one another, needles, you know, they nod out together, they share space. You know, they share this, like, spiritual, you know, dimension together with drugs. And, you know, if your friend is suffering, it's very, very difficult for them to communicate with you on outside of that dimension they feel that they're on, the drug dimension, you know. So there's always a lot of sadness in my life and loss. But I had a friend overdose in January. It'll be 2 years, and he survived. But it was the first time, I think because I was a mom, it was the first time I had connected with anger. And he survived. Like, I should be super happy. He wasn't dead like all my other friends, you know, who didn't make it. He was alive, but I was angry for the first time ever, you know. And Black comes from that. Comes from this. Black is the shadow of the person. It's their shadow. The black is themselves. While they're shooting up, that's the shadow. And when they're high, the angel of death, the French, I use the French language to put a kind of mirror up. It was like a fantasy where, you know, I'm not dying. This is beautiful. You know, so it romanticizes the action of being high, you know, but it's just the perspective of the ghost is not showing anger. You know, he's just, she is telling their perspective. So there's no real judgment. There's no real anger. It's just blunt. It
goes back to that line. You know, your anger is a gift. I mean, I've felt that anger towards the same types of situations, you know, or something like that. But, you know, to be able to have that ability to harness into something like this, the most purest form of three chords and the truth, as you were sort of saying earlier in there.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Very old school. I think most people that write songs, you know, I feel like, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like human beings are very simplistic, you know, natured beings. I feel like we, you know, make mountains out of molehills.
I was sort of comparing a little bit, because I know you started this year a little bit with celebrating the 20th anniversary of Moonpix, a beautiful record too.
Thank you.
And there was, I don't know, unless I got my information wrong, I thought there was some interesting little comparisons, or not comparisons, but similarities but between then and now, because, you know, you had considered quitting music before that record, I think, and you had, I think, maybe even considered before this record. And that one was recorded in Australia, and I think I read somewhere where you considered even going back to Australia, you know, before this.
I know. Yeah. I don't know how to describe what, I was also wanting to move to Africa when I found that right before I found out I was pregnant.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, it's when I found out that I was pregnant that, you know, I don't know what it is about Australia. There's something about, it's like this prehistoric, surreal Africa. I share the same feeling. It has the same resonance for me. The landscape, I feel really very connected with the earth there. It feels very, it feels like the earth is open. On a, like, other dimension. I'm speaking of South Africa. I've only been to North and south. I've always longed to go all over the continent of Africa, but I've only been to South Africa and North Africa. But I was speaking about the lands in South Africa, Mozambique, Tanzania. Those are the only places I've been. But there's something, I think it's just this, I didn't grow up with the terrain. And I think the animals of those lands and the cultural, indigenous, tribal, it's just like this huge reflection of the past that, you know, represents a direct link to like all humanity. I'm not sure how to describe it, but I just long for that reality. It just seems normal to me. This other stuff, all this church and the society, and this just seems like a broken, all these broken pillars, all these broken, you know, just false God stuff. You know, just so corrupted, and all these people are, I feel like so many people are so sick, you know, from, you know, conforming, you know, through all these years, thousands. But I just love terrain. The terrain in those places feels comfortable to my mind.
I mean, it's the most primal part of our history that we could go back to. So, you know, something deep inside of us all, yeah. I'll kind of wrap up here, and I was kind of hitting at Moonpix there for a second. That record famously had Metal Hearts, which you would re-record 10 years later, and now it's been 10 years later again. What does that song mean to you today, if anything different than it did then?
Foremost, Moonpix being the one record, the initial record, where I started to understand that there were some people, I guess, fans, that were relating to me as a human that helped them relate to the world around them. And when I was younger, when Moonpix came out, for instance, that these people I began meeting, these fans, they helped me in turn relate to the world that I was living in, which I was writing songs and I was very, you know, uncomfortable, feeling like it was pretentious, you know, like it was a class thing to me. It was like, I have a 10th grade education. I didn't go to college. Everybody around me in indie rock was in college. Everybody at the record label was in college. You know, I had came from a different perspective. I was still like stealing food from grocery stores just to survive in New York. But there was just, I felt like being attached to this class system title of indie rock made me really uncomfortable because I knew that I didn't fit in. I knew that I wasn't part of a scene necessarily. I know that may sound strange to you, but I remember being there. And there were some friends that I had made along the way whose bands played and, you know, put out records and things, and I began to become friends with different bands. And the person that put out Moonpix, the person that recorded Moonpix, that produced Moonpix, that young girl, she didn't feel part of anything, but over these years, these fans helped her understand that she was part of something, that she was part of the world, their world, that they too were in their solitude. They too didn't appreciate conformity, the norms, the impossibility of those exhausting norms, you know, so to speak, I'm guessing. But and so then when I went back, I had found, when I went back for this 20th anniversary, I had signed with Domino Records in February, and I had given, you know, I was about to master the record, and I waited a second because I had just come off tour with Lana Del Rey. Mm-hmm. I had this song called Woman, which was the first song and the last song that I worked on and then finished. It wasn't a part of the album. I didn't give it to Matador, who said the record was no good, and I didn't give it to Domino, who loved this record, Wander. But when I said, hold on a second, and I came home from tour with Lana, and I realized, dude, if you sing on this, it's not going to be a sad Cat Power song about my lonely perspective on this topic. It's going to be, you know, your perspective. It's going to make more of an impact to young women, to young men, to people who maybe need to hear it and feel something. They need to feel something, or they need to feel some kind of acknowledgement, understanding, validation, fortification, something that, anyway. And so I asked her, and she said yes. And the day she came in the studio, I had to fly to Australia for this 20th anniversary show. And she came in the studio, and I knew that what I was doing was right. I knew that me not putting it on the album was right initially. I didn't know why. I didn't know why I didn't want to deliver it. I didn't understand until, you know, I met with Lana, became friendly with Lana, then went on tour with Lana, then became friends. And us just talking about our past with men, businessmen we worked with, record label people, you know, boyfriends, our own fathers. It made more sense to me. It dawned on me that, you know, and now I'm so grateful that I realized that I needed to put it out, because I think that it's exactly the point that we need to see each other as a group. You know, we need to see each other as an ally, an alliance, you know, at any time when our leaders are taking away our freedom. We need to be seen as an alliance. And so anyway, I had to leave her in the studio because I had to run to the airplane. And when I was running to the airplane, you know, when I got to Australia and I'm on stage after the rehearsal for the Moonpigs album in a dress, and I realized, you know, I'm standing here in a dress, you know, standing for myself. You know, this young girl who would never wear a dress, you know, she's a tomboy, you know, and she on purpose made sure to be a tomboy. That's what she had to do as a child. You know, she had a reason she had to do that. And so here I am in a dress as a woman and feeling like, you know, for the first time, I'm more than competent to deliver this message. You know, and before, you know, the year before where I didn't have a record label and, you know, when was told that I wasn't a good artist, you know, by my ex-label who I thought were my family, which was, I won't even get into that. And Lana reached out to me at the time when I didn't have a record label and reminded me, Sean, what are you talking about? You're part of the musical landscape currently. Like, she reminded me of that old indie rock thing of touring with, you know, Dirty Three and the Blues Explosion, having friends that were part of this time. She helped me feel part of a part of this time where Nick Cave also reached out to me and asked me to play with him when he came to America. And, you know, I really needed that at a time when I didn't have a label. They turned their back on me. You know, the record stores were gone. My friends' bands pretty much were all gone. So when I'm in Australia and I'm singing these old songs that I wrote when I was very, very, very sure I had no idea if I was going to survive even this life. And I'm in a dress and I'm singing these songs. I was able to sing these songs in a way, if I could go back in time, I felt sure I was doing that night, telling myself, I knew you could do it, you know, and you know what, I know you're going to keep doing it. And I think that's why that song Woman is so important right now, because we have had to historically always keep doing it. And that's the bottom line. And I think that's why I wanted to call the record Wander, because I believe it's a state of mind. We have to make sure we collect ourselves, you know, with our integrity and our sense of being and our purpose before we, you know, and then we have to make that choice in our mind first before we move forward out of abusive relationship, out of a horrible working condition or whatever it is that we need as women, as humans, to move forward. We do have the choice. We are in the industrialized world. We can't be feeling sorry for ourselves. We have to move forward if we can, because the whole rest of the world pretty much depends on us, you know, because we are in the industrialized, you know, and we got to deal with this, you know, this criminal that's running this country. And I know that we're doing the best that we can.
That is one of your most powerful songs, and it has already spoken to many people, women and men, myself included. And when November 6th gets here, I'm, you know, hopeful that alliance, that community, does speak out, because we
Thank
have
you.
To.
Exactly. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's part of the, where we have freedom. We have freedom to do that. We have freedom to expand our community and, you know, search for other communities and empower our community with other communities so that we may tackle this criminal. And it's not about gender or color. It's about freedom and having the freedom to be strong together to tackle our enemy, this criminal. And so, yeah, it's a very important time. And it's sadly, media is not going to drive it for us. Mm-hmm. You know, we should never trust the media to drive, you know, this home, this message that we need to make sure that our young people are registered, that our young people are learning who's the best candidates to, you know, spread the word about. And
Sean, thank you so much. I mean, seriously, thank you so much for all the music for this new record, Wanderer, and all the music in the past, too. I'm looking forward to the show tomorrow. Me and my wife will both be there.
Oh, cool. That's great. I'm so happy. Yeah. I love Louisville. I have such a beautiful, beautiful, my first memory there. So beautiful. So beautiful. Everyone's just incredible. I love it. I've missed it so much. Thank you so much for having me back. Louisville, I love you so much. I can't wait to sing for you guys.
We'll be ready. Thank you, Sean. Take care.
Take it easy. You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
My eternal thanks to Sean Marshall. The new Cat Power record is called Wanderer. It is out now. And if you haven't, hit that subscribe button right now so you can keep up with these interviews. YouTube or podcasts at iTunes, wherever you're getting it from. Subscribe. Give us a rating. Leave a review as well if you can do that. Then you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show every Monday through Thursday from noon to 3 Eastern. You'll also find some bonus episodes of this series over there. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.